Sangeeta, you have a...
I don't have a question, but I have a comment to what you said, is that when we talk about animals' rights, what we're talking about giving back what we have taken from them, it's not taking away any of your rights. What that means is let animals live their natural lives. And if you want to eat, then go in their habitat, and like how a tiger would kill you, you have to, without any guns or without any weapons, if you want, then that creates a symbiotic relationship with that kind of, and it's not really...
Okay, so the comment is that it's important to be, and it corresponds to what many of you said, that we need to be symbiotic. So it's not just an issue of dominion, like Eric would talk about, for example. It's a question of being symbiotic, living, as Brandon would talk about, in a not a human-centric world, but a biocentric world. Any other questions? I know diet's important, but there are other issues too. Yeah, John.
Kind of touched on this theme earlier about change, and it starts with the individual, and then a question came a while ago also about how we have to expand this with how we interact with others. And I'm kind of thinking of trying to speak to people that don't agree with me, but those that disagree with me. One common way to argue back at these kinds of things that we're talking about is for people to point out how we're not consistent with what we say in our actions, or that we're hypocritical. Stuff like that. So my question is open to anybody as far as how do you usually feel that when that comes up, whether it's about violence, how you interact with animals?
Let me summarize that. The question is that sometimes we feel very strongly about some of our views and we need to talk to people who don't have the same views. How can we do it in a positive way, non-confrontational way? And the four-finger thing, which I take no credit for, that's Howard Lyman, actually. And I thought maybe we could ask both Stevie and Lauren to address this. Stevie is involved with teaching ethics to children, and she talked about that in her comments, that it's important to be strong and stand for what you believe in and to deal with people who don't necessarily have the same views. And I'd like Lauren to address that as well from a point of view of compassion. How do you take perhaps a confrontational... very few people are vegan, it turns out, in the population. How can you take something... Let's step back, slavery. You know, many people believed in slavery 100, 150 years ago. How can you take, like the Quakers where we're meeting, how can you take that perspective, or Lauren would argue the vegan perspective, and take it to a population which is largely indifferent or antagonistic, and address it and treat, leave with a sense of respect? So I'd like both of you to take that question, please.
Yeah, I'm getting tired, so I might misunderstand like the order, but I'm thinking of a few things. I was vegan for about 7 years, and the things that convinced me were the kind of things that Eric was talking about, which are facts, you know, that showed me, okay, you know, there are many people in the world that could eat. If people don't eat as much, you know, animal protein, that's a good fact. You know, when I was in college, I liked that fact. And I think it's the education that I take better than if someone tells me, you're a bad person or you're not peaceful enough because you don't eat what I eat. And that just makes me defensive and antagonistic. And I think if you really want to change the world, and I would prefer to be vegan, but frankly I'm very lazy at this stage of my life, and I just, you know, take more effort than I have energy to give it. But it's you know, I think if you really want to convince people of your point of view, then you have to get where they are and try to understand what their thinking is and present them with facts that will motivate them to change. And you can't change them, you can just give them the information.
Lauren, can you answer it? But I'd like to, we've talked a lot about veganism, I'd like to kind of make it more general. So, and it's, don't answer from a vegan perspective, but issue X, which you maybe
sure.
think is vegan, but if you have an issue which you feel strongly about, and you're talking to others who don't feel strongly, how can you productively, and I know you're starting a new group, so this is something that you'll need to think about, how can you take, not veganism necessarily, but some issue, and how can you engage usefully with others on that issue?
Was there also an issue of when you say something to people and then they point back at you and say, but you're not doing a good enough job of...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. How do you overcome that in a productive way?
Okay. So to this issue, I would say that, you know, none of us are perfect, and I don't think any of us here think we are. We all acknowledge that there are things we can improve upon. And I was a meat eater for 24 years, and I'm ashamed to say it, but my sister and father went vegetarian for 12 years before I did. And I used to eat a big burger and say, how can you not be eating this big juicy burger? It tastes so good at the dinner table while they're eating their vegetables. And And it was horrible for me to do that, I think now, as an animal rights activist, but also I think it was a missed opportunity for them not to at least try to educate me about where they were coming from, because they were coming from an ethical standpoint. And they just, in 12 years, they put up with me being a bit of a jerk, and they didn't educate me. And I guess that's also my approach to activism, is because all it took for me to go vegetarian and then vegan, or with a number of other social issues of things I'm involved in, environmentalism or peace and justice, it was just being educated. So that's what I try and do in my outreach, is I'm not trying to change anybody right then. I do hope that if they have the information, that they will make better choices for themselves and for all of us. In terms of being hypocritical, and that, I actually haven't gotten that much for whatever reason. And what I can say personally as an activist who cares about the world is that I'm doing the best I can, as I think most of us here can say that, you know, we care about the world, we're trying to do the best we can. And if someone who's levying that against me wants to say that I am hypocritical, then I'm happy to hear where they're coming from with that. And maybe they know something that I don't know. Maybe it's really horrible for me to talk on the cell phone because it's messing with the bee's navigation system. I don't know. And I need to know that, and I need to think about that. So I support them in educating me.
Eric, do you have a quick comment as well? But I like it to be non-vegan. I want to be general about the issue.
General.
Yeah.
General as possible. It's an American proverb, practice what you preach. It's really hard when you do something and someone else isn't doing it. You really make them look bad. It really does. It's kind of hard. You don't mean to. Even if your team wins and you say, yeah, you guys stink. Like what happened with Michigan State. That was sad for a lot of people. That was really sad for a lot of people. Just because a football team won. And then someone will come to me and say, well, what team did you go for? I said, I go for my family, the Ziegler family. You know. So you got to, at the end of the day, be able to look yourself in the mirror and, like Maureen Koplow said, he said, I've been accused of being a do-gooder and thought of it as a bad thing to be. My reply in every situation is you can do good or bad or do nothing. There are no rules, no laws, no guards looking over your shoulder. You have to let your conscience be your guide.
Let's take one final question. It's getting a little bit late, and there can be further... do you have a response?
Not to that. I just wanted to make a comment about talking to anyone about an issue that you feel is important. I think that, first of all, stating what you think and what you believe and what you know is important. I think education is extremely important, however it is accomplished. But I think we also need to realize that the person you're talking to may very well have all the information you have, but has come to a different conclusion and believes and wants to do a different thing, and that's their right to do that. So I think pushing your viewpoint is really not very productive ever.
Okay, let's take a final question. I appreciate you guys have all hung in. It's almost 10. I know some of you, like Chris, it's probably past your bedtime. Chris and I email. Sometimes I'm going to bed and he's already up. So so who gets the last question?
Well, that's not a question, but a comment. Everyone's talking about how important education is, and there are different vehicles of education that are important. One is compassion, which all of you talked about in some way. And some of you touched upon the vehicle of economics. And so it's important when you're trying to educate people to try and do an assessment of what is important to them. And instead, if somebody is concerned with economics and trying to beat them with compassion, may not get through to them. So it's important to assess the person you're trying to educate and assess the different vehicles for education and apply the right math.
Okay, let me summarize and also mention that Elise had asked me after we met, I think, at this very event last year. We're actually doing a joint event with Elise's Buddhist group in January, the Kadampa Buddhist Center, and I invite you all to come and we'll have a joint potluck and talk about Buddhism and what its relationship is to vegetarianism. I'd like to invite anybody in the panel, but starting with Brandon and Randy, to address this in terms of the question really is, you have to be compassionate towards your audience, and if you have somebody who's, just as a hypothetical, who's struggling, doesn't have money, and they can get a cheap meal at McDonald's, for example, are you going to then tell them that you shouldn't be doing that because it's not plant-based? So where is the hierarchy of compassion? So how do you look at compassion tied into economics? I'd like Brandon to address that from pretty much an animal perspective. I'd like Randy to address that from a perspective of the economy. We talked about sustainability. Do we, when we buy in a capitalistic system, is the cost of suffering, the cost of producing something built in, or is it not? And how can we, is an economic model useful? So I'd like the two of you to answer it, and then anybody else in the panel, and then I'll wrap up.
Okay, well, I don't frame the animal rights issue as one of compassion. It's for me, it's about equality, liberty, and justice. We want equal rights for animals that we give humans, such as the right not to be killed, and the right to liberty, let them live in peace. So it's not necessarily framed on compassion, but more about equality and justice, because it's unjust to use, we believe it's unjust to use animals for any purpose, because you wouldn't want that happening to yourself, like empathy. And it's not just a personal choice to consume animal products, because the products that you're eating are products of oppression, and they have ramifications, and that's the torture and death of a being who didn't have to die for that, because you can be perfectly healthy on a vegan diet. So there's absolutely no reason to ever eat animal products, and it's not personal choice, but it's one of justice
but
for animals.
But to specifically answer Elise's question from an economic perspective, you're out on 9th Street, say we go out and hang out on 9th Street, and we see a poor person who has almost no money, and they have a dollar, and the only food they can get is a hamburger. Is that a good way of posing your question? So from an economic perspective, how would you counsel such a person, or would you not counsel them?
Well, if it's a matter of them surviving the next day, then obviously they have to eat whatever they can.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but if you have a choice, which almost all of us do, and you go to the grocery store to buy your food, there's absolutely no reason to buy animal products.
Could you address it, Randy, from an economic sustainability point of view, please?
Well, I believe that the economic system doesn't incorporate a lot of externalities into the price of goods, that we get things that are produced with a lot of environmental degradation and things, and that isn't incorporated in the price. We have automobiles that run very inefficiently, and that's not recognized in the price. So the market mechanism there isn't really working. So I think what we need to do is, the answer is education. And it may be a luxury for me that I don't have to shop at Walmart, but the reason I don't shop at Walmart is because I know about some of the practices of Walmart. And I think if more people knew about those practices, then more people would be making that choice as well, even though for many of them it would be a harder economic choice for them to make. So I think people can do the right thing even when it involves some sacrifice at times.
Anybody else on the panel? If not, this has been, I've been excited all day. I've been looking forward to this. I just love, fabulous panelists, and a couple of you have already emailed me with some of your thoughts. I invite all the panelists to please, over the next week, email me, if you can write up what you presented, a comment, and Angela will be sending me her summary as well. Then, if I'm not too lazy, you'll see in a little bit, maybe the next month, that there'll be a page, and it'll have a summary of what was discussed, and of course, we'll have a pointer to the podcast so you can listen to it and share with your friends who weren't here. I'd like to adjourn. It's top of the hour, 10. It's awfully late for many people. There's a lot of great issues that came up, and I'd encourage any of you who could to spend a little bit of time talking with the panelists, as long as they're willing to stay. The rest of us need to fold chairs and tables and put them away. And I look forward to seeing many of you at future events. So thank you so much for coming.